Good morning. I realize that all of you come here because this is some of the best Bible teaching that you can get anywhere. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've listened to a lot of preachers and pastors, and I don't know that I've heard anybody better than Dave Love, and I'm sure that's why you come here. So I come here to be taught the Word of God. We come as much as we can on Wednesday nights and listen to the teaching and the preaching, but I am not going to try to compete with that this morning. There's no way that I could do that. Not a Bible teacher, but what I want to share is something maybe a little bit different, and that is, what do we do with all this knowledge when we get taught all these things? How do we live this out? What do we do as Christians? So I want to share a passage out of Romans, and I'm going to share it from the Gideon's International perspective, something I've been doing for about 38 years. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will put a Bible in your hand. We are going to turn to a scripture in Romans this morning. So grab a copy of God's Word. And as you're doing that, look, find Romans 10, verse 1. So Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And as you get that, would you stand with me? And let's honor God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to jump down to verse 14. All right? So the Word of God says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." And then jump down to verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news!' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voices have gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." You can be seated. The message today, based on this passage of Scripture, is why the Word? Why the Word? I know you love the Word, but why does the world need God's Word? I've had the privilege, as I've mentioned, to be in the Gideon's International for 38 years. And in that time, I've got to travel the world. And so I've got a perspective, maybe a global perspective, of what's happening across our globe. And for example, in the top most populated countries on earth, the top five, People's Republic of China, India, U.S., Brazil, Indonesia, I've been to four or five, and I'll tell you why I haven't been to that other one as I get through this message. So I've been to the biggest countries in the world, but also the smallest. I've been to the uttermost parts of the earth, places you probably don't pick on your vacation, like Micronesia or Tonga or Palau, islands out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So I have a perspective from the biggest to the smallest of what goes on in our world. I've also seen the depravity of man as I've traveled the world. I've walked the Great Wall of China, separating nations. I've gone to the killing fields of Cambodia, where Pol Pot, their ruler in the 70s, killed 3 million of his own people. I've been to the demilitarized zone in Korea, where divides South and North Korea. I've been there, and I've been able to peer into North Korea, and it breaks your heart as we see North Korea in the news and understand what's going on there. And then I've walked what's left of what remains of the Berlin Wall, that little path that showed where the Berlin Wall was. And it's amazing to us, as I probably say that, and you contemplate that, what man does to each other. It's sad what happens in our world. So why? I've also seen the attempt of people try to find God and here's a Buddhist temple, a Hindu temple, a Muslim temple, trying to find God in various ways through Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, voodoo, and now post-Christian modernism. So why do I do this? Why do I go around the world and try to give people God's word? Because I think you know that the only hope for our world today is truth. God's word is truth, and so we need to go, and we need to give the truth around the world. It's interesting. It's a lost, confused world right now. A lot of changes happening. But our theme says this, as we read in Romans just a minute ago, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So as members of the Gideon's International, we believe that this Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the doom of sinners, and the way of salvation for mankind. And we believe this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And if you believe that, you might shout the amen, right? Yeah. You believe that. You come to this church because you believe that. You want to be taught that. But that is contrary to much of what the world thinks today. So we also believe, and we partner with the church through the Gideon's International, that the church has been given the Great Commission. And Joey already said it. He prayed it just a few minutes ago. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So it's the responsibility of the church to take the truth, take the word of God to Castle Rock, to Canyon City, to every place across the world. And because Gideons are all members of churches, we're not a parachurch organization. All of us have to be members. We have to have the approval of our pastors, whether it's in this church or any church in the 201 countries we operate in. Every one of us are members of a church. So we are simply an extension of that great commission through the church, through this organization called the Gideon's International. And we do that in a couple of different ways. First of all, by associating together for services, Christian business and professional men. So it's a men's organization. We have women's organizations, and the Gideon's International is a men's organization, but we partner with our wives. We've included our wives since the very beginning. So it's, in a sense, a couples ministry, a men's ministry, and it's an extension of your church. Scriptures are placed here in Castle Rock and across the world. And then there's another piece of what we do, and that is personal witnessing and personal testimony. You may not know, the Gideons were formed in 1898, and for 10 years, we never placed one Bible. So what did the Gideons International do for the first 10 years? The Gideons were known as business and professional men who shared their faith with other business and professional men and saw them come to saving faith. So pastors would invite Gideons at that time to come and share because they were sharing the gospel and people were getting saved. That was before we ever placed one Bible. So let me give you an example of this. I do get to travel a lot. I get to go through DIA often. So I was taken Southwest not so long ago to Nashville. Nashville is the headquarters of the Gideon's International. I go there regularly. And so in Southwest, you know, you don't get your seat assignment. And I go in and I'm looking in the gate like you do. And I'm looking around and I'm going, I hope I don't have to sit next to that guy. You've never done that, I know. So I get on the plane, I get my window seat, and sure enough, he comes and sits in the aisle seat in my row. And on this flight, nobody sits in the middle seat. So I say, I'm really a spiritual guy, as you can tell. So I say to the Lord, all right, if you want me to talk to him, he has to start the conversation. So not so long, the flight takes off, he starts talking to me. I'm like, okay. So we share. We have a wonderful conversation. We talk for probably an hour to 90 minutes of this flight to Nashville. Wonderful conversation. I find out he is the manager for Reba McEntire and Blake Shelton. Yeah. I'm sitting next to a who's who, you know. And so we talk, and of course, by, you know, I learn about him, and finally I get out of little Gideon testament. And in this testament, it has the plan of salvation in it. And it, I start down with him. I said, you know God loves you. He told me he had a Catholic background. I said, you know this. You know God loves you. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, you know we're all sinners? And he said, yeah, I understand. You know, I'm a sinner. I said, you know God's remedy for sin? And we just had Easter last weekend, and everybody, you know, Catholics understand Easter, and they know that God died, Jesus died on the cross for their sin. Yeah, I know that. I said, but there's another part here that says you can be saved now. And just like us, we can have the head knowledge of this, but have we ever internalized it? Have we ever accepted it? And so that's what I asked him. You know that, but have you ever made it personal? Have you personally received the forgiveness of sin in your life and accepted that gift on the cross, that Easter celebration? And he contemplated that, probably never really had. And I said, there's a place here where you can pray my decision to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so I said, you can pray that prayer, and if you do, you sign your name, and you accept the Lord then today, right now on this airplane, and solve that. And so I just left it with him, and I looked out the window, and I prayed for him, and I watched him a little bit out of the corner of my eye, and I see him thinking about that and reading that over, and then getting out a pen and signing his name, accepting Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then I said, now what are you going to do? Because the plane's landing in Nashville. He said, I'm going to go tell Reba. So that's what the Gideons do. We also share our faith. We share and personally witness. Because it's not just enough to know the Word of God. It's enough to do something with it. Somebody prayed last night before the service that we're not just to be hearers only, but what? Doers of the Word of God. So also, of course, we place Bibles. We place Bibles in New Testaments, hotels, hospitals, schools, colleges, jails, prisons, military, other avenues, medical offices. We do the Douglas County Fair right here in Castle Rock every year. Place lots of scriptures right here in your community. So we're nearly 300,000 volunteers, Gideons and our wives, in 201 countries, territories, and possessions all over the world, being able to spread God's word like no organization on the face of the earth. So why? The message is, why the word? So let's go back to our theme in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in whom, whom they've not heard? And now think about this a minute. This verse is very familiar to you, but how many people in the world have never heard John 3:16 and 17? For God so loves the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. How many people have never heard that in the world? How many Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and atheists have never read 2 Peter 3, 9 through 10? Says the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. How many people have never read those verses? How many post-Christian modernists, those who believe that there is no absolute truth, truth is relative, how many of them have never read Acts 4, 11 through 12? This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. So why the word? The world needs truth. Amen? And where do they find truth? John 17, 17 and 18 say, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Who's them? Us, right? The Great Commission. We are to go and share the truth with people here and everywhere. So this morning, do you believe that the world needs truth? I think so. Do you believe Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, post-Christian modernists needs God's word in our world today? Yeah, I think you believe that. So how do we partner with you, the church? You'll have a chance at the end of this message to decide if you want to get involved, get engaged. And what can you do? You'll decide whether Castle Rock needs the word of God. You'll decide whether Colorado needs the word of God. You'll decide if the U.S. needs the word. And you'll decide if the world needs the word by your level of participation after this message. So why the word? Back to our text once again. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Just a few months ago, I was at the end of the world. I was in a place called Miri, Malaysia, Eastern Malaysia. Malaysia is a Muslim nation. Now, what does that mean? Not all Muslim nations are like this, but this is what it means in Malaysia. It means born a Muslim, die a Muslim. It means if you try to convert a Muslim, you can go to jail. You can be turned in. You can go to prison. So what are the Gideons doing in Malaysia trying to hand out a bunch of Bibles when it's illegal to convert a Muslim? We go all over the world on your behalf. So we were in Miri and we were handing out scriptures. And the first thing you have to ask anybody anywhere in Malaysia is, are you a Muslim? Now, that sounds strange to us that we would ask that kind of a question, but that's acceptable there. So anybody you talk to, the front desk people, anybody at anywhere, if you want to talk to them, are you a Muslim? And if they say yes, you talk about the weather, you talk about anything else. But if they say no, then you can share faith, gospel. You can share that. So every school we would go to, every hotel we would go to, the place, the word of God, it's amazing how many people would allow us to put Bibles in hotels in Muslim Malaysia. And in these schools, every school we would go to, we would say, you know, can we distribute scriptures? And they're all Muslim headmasters. And they would say, when I dismiss the Muslim students, then you can distribute to everybody else. Amazing. I mean, just amazing to me to see that happen. So they would dismiss the Muslim students, and we would have a chance to hand scriptures by the thousands to these non-Muslim students in Malaysia. Well, part of our trip there, which is called an international scripture blitz, was to go to another little town. Now, I think I'm already at the uttermost parts of the earth in Miri, Malaysia. This is your geography lesson for today. You find Miri, Malaysia, and then you find Mulu, Malaysia. Because when they had a conference in Miri not so long ago, they went on a little boat trip to a tourist town, and they found the boat guide was a Christian. He introduced these Gideons to the only pastor in Mulu, Malaysia. And when he did, that pastor, Pastor Darius, said, we need God's word. Our town needs God's word. The Gideons had never been there. So on this trip now, they take a couple of us on an airplane. They fly us to Mulu, Malaysia. We get off. Pastor Darius meets us. We got a few boxes of scriptures. He takes part of the team to all the hotels and all the schools in Mulu. And then a couple of us get on a flatboat. We're going to go up this river in a rainforest to find a school to place God's word. I believe I'm in the uttermost parts of the earth now. And so I'm on this flatboat for 2 hours in the hot Malaysian sun, going up this river to a school. We find the school, and we meet with the headmaster, only 19 students. By the time we separate the kids that even can read, 6 kids. That's the only opportunity we have. We give 6 children the scripture in their language. And then we got to do that very same thing that I got to do with that guy on the airplane. I got to share the plan of salvation with them, that God loves those kids, that all are sinners, that God had a remedy for sin. They could accept the Lord Jesus right then. And so after doing that, we bowed our heads and prayed. And you'll see, all 6 kids received the Lord Jesus in Mulu, Malaysia. Was it worth it to go 2 hours in the Malaysian sun up a flatboat river for 6 kids? But then the headmaster says, there's another school up the river another hour. Now we have to decide, do we go? And it's dangerous. You can't be on the river in the dark. So we have to decide, can we get there? Can we get all the way back in time? Well, like you, I said, I'm only going to be this way once in my life. So let's go do it. So we go, and here's what we find. A different kind of school. 140 middle school, teenagers in a school. And so we meet with the Muslim headmaster. You know what he should have said? Absolutely not. You are not placing Bibles in with my kids. But he didn't say that. He said the same thing the rest of them did. We'll dismiss the Muslim students and you can speak to everybody else. So 13 kids all left. 127 students we got a chance to share with. So here they are. They all have a Bible now in their language. And I'd gone a long way in the hot sun that day. I was not interested in numbers. I made it as hard as I've ever made it for anybody to receive Jesus that day. I went through and I told them God loved them. I said, we're all sinners. You understand that? Yes. They've never heard a message like this before. And then I shared about the cross, Easter. And then I said, there's a place for you to accept that and make it yours today. But I don't want you to do it unless this is the most important decision you've ever made in your life. And if it's not life-changing, then don't do it today. And I shared my own personal testimony about when I was 15 years old and I made a prayer like that and I gave my life to the Lord and it changed my life from then until now. If this is not what this means to you, don't do it. And then we prayed. Bowed our heads, we prayed. We finished praying. I looked up and that's what I saw. Nobody signing anything. Maybe I made it too hard. And then I noticed they didn't have any pens. So I handed my pen to the people, the kids in the front row and the rest of the Gideons, and then you'll see kids all over that crowd, well over 100, signing their name, receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. To God be the glory. Amen. In Mulu, Malaysia. Now we took that boat ride back 3 hours back, got back just before dusk, and it poured. It started to rain. It rained like it doesn't rain in Colorado. And then next morning, it rained again, poured 6 hours on that river that day, no rain. Is God in this or what? So why the word? Because the word is the only thing that can change a Muslim nation. Amen? Amen. Let's go to another part of the world, a Buddhist country, Cambodia. I mentioned in Cambodia the killing fields, and here they are. This is what it looks like. It's not a field. It's a cave, and at the top, that's a hole. So what they'd do is they'd line all these people up, and they'd hit them with a club or a rake or something with a big stick over the head, and if that didn't kill them, the fall might, but it didn't matter because you couldn't get out of the cave anyway. They pile up humanity in these caves like this. So what's this box over here? This is what's left. This is boxes of bones, skulls, arms, legs. That's what it's like to go see the killing fields in Cambodia. The Gideons had a ministry there. It was shut down between 1975 and 83 because of what was going on with the Khmer Rouge. Well, there was a young man, a teenage Khmer Rouge soldier, who was doing this kind of stuff. And after a while, gave up the cause, was sick of it. So he left, and he went to a refugee camp. And there, the Gideons had been placing the Word of God with the refugees. So he got a copy of Scripture, and like many others, had a chance to read it through. He, Sukun, for the first time, laid his eyes on John 3:16. Like many others, the Word of God touched his heart. And he'd write his name in the back. He was probably the seventh or eighth name in the Testament that was being passed around to that refugee camp. And after he did, and after the war, Sukun decided he needed to preach that gospel that he received in that refugee camp. So he went back to Cambodia and started planting churches. Sukun is today the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Cambodia. Praise the Lord for the power of his word in a Buddhist nation. Amen? So why the word? Same reason. It's the only hope for Buddhists across the world. Let's go to a different place. India. India is a Hindu nation, the largest Hindu nation on earth. 1.3 billion people. And this was the nation that I did not get to. I'll share that in a minute. But we have 25,000 Gideon and Auxiliary members in India, ready, willing, and able to place the Word of God. And this is the biggest, most open door in the world today. 1.3 million scriptures every month being placed in India on your behalf. to the people in India. And we have to do it now while we can, because they elected a new prime minister, as you may very well know. He's very Hindu, and he's beginning to press down on all this other stuff. For example, I tried to go to India. I had to get a visa to go to India, and I was denied entry. I had to write on something called a religious undertaking letter to get into to India, and here's what it said. Sir, I hereby solemnly declare that my visit to India during the period of this visa is solely for tourist purposes. During this period, I shall not engage in preaching or any religious activities while in India. And I was to list the church I worked for in the United States and the church affiliation name. I wasn't going on behalf of a church. I was going on behalf of the Gideon. So I did that. I was still denied entry. It's not important that I get to India. What is important to you today is that we have Gideons in India, ready, willing, and able to place the word of God if we get them to them there now while the door is open. So my understanding is in India, in the southern part of India, it rains a lot, a little bit different than here. It floods out towns and communities, and this village got flooded out by this rainstorm. And this young 12-year-old girl, Karthika, was walking through the town, through the water, didn't realize an electrical pole was in the water, and yes, she contacted the pole, and she was electrocuted. She was unconscious, probably left for dead. Her parents were around. The village was around. They were all weeping, mourning. There was no hope. Nothing could be done. But her sister comes up to the parents and said, "This week at school, I got a book from some guys, and I was reading," and she was reading Mark 2, 1 through 12, about a story about these guys who took their friend, tore up this roof, dropped him down on this mat, and this guy named Jesus healed him. So maybe we should pray to this Jesus for my sister, and maybe Jesus can do something for her. They don't have any other answers, have no hope, so they gather around Karthika. They pray. She begins to breathe again. She comes back to consciousness. Now, in India, everything is a god, 300,000 gods. So they could have added Jesus to their god list, but they saw a power they'd never seen from any other god. So they didn't add Jesus to the god list. They chucked all their other gods, and they are a Christian family today because of the power of the Word of God in India. Amen? We have the chance. We have the chance to get the Word of God into India today, right now. They want 20 million scriptures. We're doing about 14 million. If we can help India today, we can help India. Why the Word? It's the only hope for Hindus in the world. Let's go to Australia. Australia. I'm going to start in Sweden, but we're going to end up in Australia. Eric grew up in Sweden, a scholarly-minded young man, very interested in academics, had little interest in faith or religion, like zero. He recalls, he says, "I was active as a communist, and I was a convinced atheist. Christians were weak and hypocritical. When challenged by a friend to read the Gospel of John, he agreed, saying, 'I'll prove to you from your book that God is not real.' The problem was he didn't have a Bible, so he had to find one. He remembered getting a Bible from the Gideons in his school in Sweden a long time ago, so he rummages around his house and he finds the Word of God, which says what? It will never return void. It will always accomplish what it pleases, and it prospers in the thing whereto he sends it." So he finds a Bible to prove Christianity wrong. He starts reading the Gospel of John, and questions begin to flood his mind. What if Jesus is who he says he is? Yeah, what if? Soon after, he agreed to attend a Christian youth rally, his first experience at a church service ever in his life, first experience with anybody ever praying. Never saw that in his life. So he goes to that youth rally. He said, "I experienced after that a strange, unfamiliar presence." That's that power of that Holy Spirit, isn't it? That unfamiliar presence. "I accepted forgiveness for persuading people to doubt God over the last 19 years of my life, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Now, Eric fell in love with the scriptures he once doubted. He read the entire New Testament through each month. Christians, how are we doing with the Word of God? You've been reading your New Testament through each month? Well, he did. He fell in love with the Word of God. Felt the call to missions. He traveled around the world and eventually ended up in Sydney, Australia, where he now teaches at a Bible college. Again, the power of the Word of God. Why the Word? It can change an atheist's heart. Amen. So not only around the world, but right here. What about our community? What about our town? The Westin Hotel, that thing out at DIA, what does it look like? What? Spaceship, cruise ship, mustache. You know what it is? It's the wings on a pilot's uniform. Yeah, we found that out because we finally got the privilege to go dedicate Bibles and put Bible in every room in that Westin. 600 Bibles, we did it about 2 weeks ago. For an Easter gift to the city of Denver, we put Bibles in every room of the Westin Hotel out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's what we do. That's what the church does. Where do we get that? It's from the church. So that new Gaylord Hotel going up out there, that big thing that we drive out, you see that? How many of you have seen that thing? 1,600 rooms. And it's going to open in December. So you want to help? You want the Word of God to go forth among the nations? We want the Word of God to go forth in Denver today. $5 a Bible. We need 1,600 Bibles for that Gaylord Hotel so we can place them before it opens this December. So why the Word? It's the only hope to bring Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, post-Christian modernists back to the truth of God's Word. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, what? Except through me. The world needs that truth. It needs to understand that truth. So you can spread the Word of God today. You can do this with your help today. We can get this done. You personally can make a difference in Castle Rock, in our community, and across the world. So how does the church participate? How do we partner together as Gideon's International in the church? Four ways. One, pray. You have a missions board out there. It lights up. And I saw that board, and I said to somebody, you could put a light in every country of the world when you support the Gideons. You can put a light in 201 countries. They said, we're going to change the board, so they're not going to do that. But that's what you do. You pray. This is a missions outreach. I'll be going to Germany in a couple weeks, and then Norway and Taiwan, and that's just some of the schedule that I have coming up. So pray. Would you like to be traveling in the world today? It's a dangerous and crazy place, isn't it? So pray for the Gideons as a missions outreach of your church. Secondly, join business and professional men. Become part of the Gideons. We need help in Castle Rock. We need help standing there at the Douglas County Fair and putting Bibles all over here and across the school system around here. So come and visit our table. Learn more about how you can become part of the Gideons and extend your ministry from Calvary Castle Rock here and around the world. And then for those of you that are not business and professional men, you can become a friend of the Gideons. And there's friends brochures back there. You can become a prayer partner or a financial friend. And when you become a financial friend, this is what's important. You can get these testaments without the Gideon emblem. And then you will have carrying around with you that GPS system, that God's plan for salvation, GPS system right here in the back of the testament. So when you become a financial friend, you get a couple free, then you can buy as many as you want. And you can use this to witness, to go forth among the nations and spread the gospel. So if you want to be a friend of the Gideons, go back and get a friend's brochure. And then supply the scriptures we place. $5 for a Bible, $1.20 places a scripture anywhere in the world today. So you decide what you want to do. You got an envelope, right? You have this here. Did you pick this up? Get that out a minute because I forgot to mention this testimony right here. This comes right from Denver, Colorado. This is the bulletin we use all over the country. And I actually know this guy, John Craner. I met him, and he shared this testimony with me. And so let's look at that for a minute. It says, I left home at 16, and by 21, I was out of control. I shot into a car, and it doesn't say, but I know the rest of this, unloading a full clip of ammunition, was arrested on 2 counts of attempted murder, had no hope, no friends, no family. However, there was a Bible in my jail cell placed by the Gideons. I had never read a Bible before. I learned about Jesus and his love. I prayed for the first time, and I was forever changed in one instant. I vowed to follow God and give him my life. Now, how does the Bible get in a jail cell? We take the Bibles out of hotels. We keep them fresh. We keep them new. So the ones we take out of the hotels, we put them in jails and prisons. Canyon City, all those 11 prisons. The Gideons are there putting used Bibles in the jails and prisons. So that's how he got this. After my release, I became a pastor. My life has been transformed from pain and suffering to joy and service to the King. Daily, I thank God for his unrelenting love in that jail cell as he spoke to me through his word. And this was at the Denver County Jail, right up the street. Praise the Lord for the power of the word, not just all around the world, but right here. So that's what you do. You decide, and there's an envelope right here that you tear off. You put your offering in there. It can be a check to the Gideons International. It can be cash. It can be a credit card piece right there. Whatever you want to do to buy the scriptures that we can place at that Gaylord Hotel or anywhere around the world. I'm going to close with this. The power to change the world does not rest in the hands of politicians. Praise God for that, right? It rests in our hands. God did not give the politicians the Great Commission. He gave it to who? He gave it to the church. It's our job to go touch the world with the love of Jesus, reminding us once again, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's our Great Commission. It's not theirs. So we can't rely on them, we can't depend on them, nor should we. If we want the world to change, we, the church, need to go do the Great Commission. So just a couple of weeks ago, the first part of March, I was in Kenya. I was in Kenya doing another international scripture blitz on behalf of this church and many others that we partner with. And so let me share with you the power of the Word of God and how it can influence a nation. When we got to Kenya, we drive around and see cars and vans and everything, lots of bumper stickers that have Bible verses on them and things like praise God and glory hallelujah and just amazing things. And then you'd get to one of those roundabouts and there in the little billboards were verses and glory to God and praises and just things that I've not seen in any other country I've been in. I was amazed at the Christian influence virtually everywhere you went in Kenya. And then our goal there was to hand out lots of scriptures to students. So we went and visited over 200 schools in a week. And virtually every school we'd go to, the administrators, many of them would say, I'd say, I'm Alan Huth, and they'd say, I'm so-and-so, and I'm born again. Is that how you introduce yourself to your friends? Not how we do it here, but that's what they did in Kenya. Hi, I'm born again. Try that. See how that works at your office tomorrow. And so everywhere, and then we'd visit with the administrators. Not like in Malaysia. These people were so excited that we were there to hand out God's word to their students. And they would say things like, I got mine when I was a kid. It's touched their life. I think we placed 38 million scriptures in Kenya since the 60s. The word of God has influenced a nation. No opposition. Every school we went to, they would assemble the students. Think about this here in the United States. The Gideons go to the school. We say, could we give students a copy of God's word? And all this, oh, yeah, we love that. Assemble in an assembly, and we get to share the gospel with all the kids. Walk right through the same thing. God loves you. We're all sinners. God has a remedy for sin. You can receive Jesus right now. And so we had the chance to do that over and over, 200 times that week, to 70,000 students received a copy of God's word, and we generally estimated maybe 15,000 professions of faith. And you see the opportunity we had to hand out God's word, but look at the next one. This is when we say, would you like to pray? This is a group of teenagers in Kenya with their heads bowed, just like it would happen at your high school here, right? No. We got to go where the doors are open. The opportunities are still here around the world to place the word of God. And so thousands received Jesus on that trip to Kenya. Now, when President Obama went to visit Kenya, and you might remember he said he was there, grew up there, whatever. So he went back, and this is what they told me. I can't verify it, but I don't know why they would tell me anything that wasn't so. He said when he met with their president that for Kenya to get money from the United States, they had to embrace same-sex marriage and the gay agenda. Yeah. So when he left, the leadership of Kenya said this, thanks, but no thanks, because Kenya is a Christian nation. The power of the Word of God has influenced that country. I've seen it like very few others. And so when I got to share in a church in Kenya, like I'm sharing with you, I said, please keep Kenya Christian. It's like it was, what, 50 years ago here, maybe 60 years ago? We were like that. We could go to all the schools then and hand out God's word, and we were Christian, and we were vocal about it, and it's gone. Don't let it happen to Kenya. But the power of the Word of God has influenced a nation. And that's why we go. Why the Word? Because we can only influence the world with truth. And we have the truth in our hands. For what we proclaim, this is 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus is as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. It's in us. We have it. And it's our opportunity now to give it away, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So now you decide. What do you want to do? You want to place the Word of God here and around the world? Then you put something in that envelope. You turn it in at the table. We'll let you know how many scriptures Calvary Castle Rock buys for the Gaylord Hotel or for students around the world. And as we close, let's go back to the beginning passage that we started with. Why the Word? Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Is that our heart's desire? For people here, people that are lost, people around the world. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. How then will they call on him of whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what they have heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ or the word of God. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, to Mulu, Malaysia, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're participating in spreading the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Calvary Castle Rock, a place that teaches the Word of God. And we honor the Word of God here. We long to learn and know more about